We'd like to take a moment to talk about Jane, one of our sponsors who helped make this episode possible. Jane is a practice management software built for every kind of mental health practitioner and is thoughtfully designed with your clients in mind. Jane makes it convenient to meet with individuals, couples, or families, whether that's online, via Jane's telehealth options, or in person.
From day one, you can expect unlimited customer support through onboarding that sets you up for success and a 99.99% software reliability that ensures that Jane is always ready to start the day with you.
Just as you are always learning and improving, Jane is too. The team at Jane values customer feedback and uses it to design even more helpful features. So you can think of Jane as a software that grows with you.
If you're curious to see Jane in action, head to jane.app/mentalhealth/US to book a free one-on-one demo. You can also mention the code DCPOD at sign up for a 2-month free grace period on your new Jane account. Hey everyone, you are listening to the Divergent Conversations podcast. We are two neurodivergent mental health professionals in a neurotypical world. I'm Patrick Cassell.
And I'm Dr. Neff.
And during these episodes, we do talk about sensitive subjects, mental health, and there are some conversations that can certainly feel a bit overwhelming. So we do just want to use that disclosure and disclaimer before jumping in. And thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Patrick from Divergent Conversations. Megan, Anna, and I are embarking upon our seasonal break. It has been a long year for both of us, as it has for all of you. We've decided to take our end of the year break a little bit early and re-release some of our favorite episodes from 2025. We really appreciate all of your support. We appreciate all of you who listen, download, share, and continuously send us feedback. We really appreciate our sponsors, Landmark College and Jane App for Healthcare. You two have been in our corners basically the entire year. We will see you on the other side. We hope everyone has a healthy, safe, happy new year. All right, everyone, welcome back after a long extended hiatus and break on Divergent Conversations. We are finally batch recording a new season and doing things very differently going forward. So where was I going with that? I don't know, but thanks for still continuing to follow, engage, support. We got a lot of messages while we were away about all of our re-releases. For some of you who have listened to those episodes multiple times and still find a lot of good insight and information and support. So that makes me feel really good about continuing to put this content out into the world. And Megan, Anna, and I are in weird headspaces right now, specifically me. So I'm just going to name that. I've saved all of my energy for this next hour and a half.
Which feels like a bit of pressure to me. I'm like, all of you're juicing all of the ounces of energy out of you for this conversation. And that feels like a little bit of a sacred gift, not just to me, but also to our listeners, in the sense of, I do know you're in a season of really low energy. And so it's okay, here's the one thing I'm going to do today.
I appreciate that. And no pressure needed. Weirdly, I feel the pressure where I'm low energy. Am I going to bring anything to the table? That's where my mind immediately goes. I don't want Megan, Anna to have to deal with the heavy lifting, so to speak.
I kind of though love that about our friendship and our dynamic here is that's the reality of being neurodivergent, right? Is you saw me through the fall when I had very limited energy for work, and you've seen me in intense brain fog when I can barely put words into cohesive sentences. I think it's tough when we're probably both in a down spot, but that's part of being in relationship. That's part of interdependence is you're low right now. I have a bit more energy.
Yeah.
And often it's the reverse of that.
Totally. Yeah. That's such a great reframe for me, which I love about you. That's a really good perspective, honestly. And I think that's so important. Wonderful segue, by the way, into really what we want this next season and series to be about.
See, even in your fatigue, you still got the social ligaments. Look at you go.
Thank you. Yes, I do have the social ligaments. I think that's what we want this to be about, right? Like, we bounced ideas off of why we wanted to take a break. And we'll talk about that in a second. But we want to be more intentional. We want to take more breaks. You mentioned having more feminine energy in the podcast in terms of how we structure, how we schedule. We wanted to do collections, Megan's word. And I think we wanted to start off with wellness. And we acknowledge that there is so much going on right now in the world, in this country, in the autism spaces, especially. And we're going to talk in a nuanced way, as we always try to do, and as we're both existing and trying to figure out things for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's really well said. Yeah, it's interesting. We have a lot of themes that we talked about and that we'd like to do. Because I think our thinking right now is we'll do like 12 episodes a season and release a few seasons a year. Yep. And we definitely want to get into some of the complexity and heaviness that's happening. But we wanted to set the tone with wellness, because that's partly why we took the break. Was I think I reached out to you and I was like, I am not, it was in middle of all of, folks who like know Neurodivergent Insights might know this. Folks that don't know, is like, I did a website migration. My website's very huge. It went terribly, horribly wrong. And I, like, for the first time was like, am I going to have to like close my business? Cause I've got four employees at this point. Like, we depend a lot on website visits and sales. And that was a very stressful time, and everything was happening. Well, not everything was happening politically, like, because it keeps happening, but it was in a moment where there's a lot happening politically. And I was shutting down of like, I can't handle being perceived right now. Yep. And I needed a break, and I like reached out, and I knew that was a hard ask. And then thought through like, what would it look like to embody the things that we want to help other people see around? How do we do wellness amidst, especially amidst all that people are navigating right now?
Yeah. Well said. I know that was a really, really stressful time for you for so many reasons. With the website migration, with all the issue that came with it, because I saw a lot of the behind the scenes of it. I mean, and then having that financial burden, plus just you've worked so hard to create it, to see that come like crumbling down at something that wasn't your fault is really frustrating. And you feel kind of powerless in that, you know, as well. And I think
fragility. You know, yeah. Fragility, like, I encountered fragility in a way that like, I hate that feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I can't imagine feeling like, am I going to have to close up shop because of something that, you know, should have been pretty routine. Mm-hmm. And I felt, you know, we can speak candidly, I suppose, on here about this experience, but I felt really guilty because I gave you the referral for that and it felt horrible. You know, you're a friend, and I saw all of this happening behind the scenes, and it really was a painful experience. And it sounds like there were some lessons in it too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I like, that's one thing, and I don't mean this in a toxic positive way. You know, in psychology, especially around like hard things, sometimes we talk about meaning making. And yeah. I like that, to me, has always been the thing that helps me, is like going to meaning making. And maybe it's sometimes when I've effed up, like when I've stepped in it and I've done something that I feel really guilty or shameful about, it's like, okay, what's the invitation for me to learn and grow and do better? Because then there's meaning making in it. That's like the one thing that will calm down my OCD, to be honest, because I am so guilt prone and rumination prone.
Sure.
And same thing with this stuff. It was like, okay, there's gotta be some invitation in here toward growth if I see it. And again, not to bypass like all of the other negative emotions that came with it. But totally. The thing for me, and I think it does connect to this wellness and even to how we started, was interdependence of, I've over the last 4 years, 2 years, built up really strong digital walls around me because my nervous system could not handle being perceived, being exposed, the feedback, even like I'm always open to call-ins, but like just the level of feedback and being perceived was so much for me. But what I realized in that process was I'd also blocked out like people's kindness and appreciation, and I needed community support, and I invited it, and I cried from joy and like of this, of like, oh my gosh, people have me. And yeah. As someone who's very hyper independent, it was such a beautiful breakthrough moment for me of like, okay, there is another way to do this whole human thing, to do this whole community thing. And I think like back to you and me, but also back to our community, when I think about all we're navigating, like the way forward is going to be through interdependence. It's going to be through community. It's going to be through building like grassroots movement and connections where it's like, we've got each other. We've got each other in this.
Absolutely. That's really well said. And it's, you know, I think when we think of wellness, I'm interested to see where people's minds go when they first hear that word, but it's holistic, right? Like we have to really take a zoom out approach and look at a lot of the different things that impact us on a cellular level, on a micro level, on a macro level, like on a community-based level. There's so much that goes into wellness. And I think I want to just applaud you on air. As you just said, I don't like being perceived for asking for a break, because I think that took a lot for you. And to say, hey, I want to shift the way we're going to do this if we're going to continue going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah.
Do we want to, like, especially I feel like we're talking about wellness and we're kind of getting into community and connection, which we didn't know how we were going to start, but I love that actually we're starting on like interdependence. Do you feel comfortable talking about our exchange and like the attachment reaction you had and then like how we navigated that? Cause I actually think, first of all, I'm really proud of us for how we navigated it. And I also think that might be helpful for listeners to hear how like rupture for sure. and repair can happen.
Yeah. I mean, you did send an email about it after asking.
I did. I did not say your name, but people might have intuited.
Sure. This person that I spend a lot of time with creating these things with.
The one friend I have in my life.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to talk about it. I don't think we need to go into like black and white specifics about like everything, but yes, I think let's talk about what that was like for both of us. So
like, go ahead.
Set the stage. Go ahead.
Yeah. Like, so you get my like long ass voice memo. And first of all, like your headspace, like just all of our headspace are just messed up at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens to you when you get that voice memo?
Okay. I get long ass voice memo. I think it was like 7 minutes long.
Which you've told me before, like, do not send me longer than 2 minute voice memos. I cannot do that.
I can't typically like listen and process it, you know, to a lot of audio messaging. So after 2 minutes, that's usually my cutoff, but I listened to the whole thing. I was like, damn, did I just really listen to a 7 minute voice memo? So I listened to the memo. I'm out with some friends. Maybe we are partaking in some alcoholic beverages. Maybe not. I don't, but nevertheless, not an excuse for my reaction whatsoever, but that was definitely the headspace that was in. And I think I got the voicemail that was like, hey, I think, I don't remember how you phrased it. I would need to remember that correctly, but it was something like about taking a break, right? From divergent mm-hmm. conversations. And I think you even mentioned like, when I see it pop up on my calendar, it's really stressful. It's really overwhelming. It causes me a lot of angst in a lot of ways. And I was just like, whoa, And my immediate reaction, it was like attachment wound, abandonment mm-hmm. stuff, insecurity, right? What I was experiencing was like Megan Anna, and I'm going to prioritize saying Megan Anna for the rest of this season. I just want everyone to hear that. Megan Anna is apparently going to prioritize less cursing because I already heard you say F up. And I'm going to prioritize saying your name the way you want it stated. I experienced like Megan Anna doesn't want to do this with me and doesn't like me. That is what happened so viscerally for me. I was like,
yeah,
they are telling me that this project that we kind of, I wouldn't say put blood, sweat, and tears into, but
we've put a lot into it.
A lot into it.
Yeah.
Is something that they are no longer interested in being a part of. And that just hurt so bad in that moment. Yeah. And it was more about, I think I was grieving the loss of friendship and not really so much of project, because ultimately project is great. And I'm glad of what I'm proud of what we've created, honestly, in the last 2 years. But if it came to an end today, there would be some grief, but it would be more about the grief of the connection and the relationship. That would be the heaviest hitting grief for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And once you said that,
I lashed
happens
one a bit.
With attachment. Yeah. It like became about like a technical thing. And then I was like, whoa, I don't feel recognized here. And like, then we were texting, this is like the only time we had a text exchange where like I started to feel some heat in my body. Mm-hmm. Like so misrepresented.
I can tell from the response.
Yeah. I think we caught it pretty quickly and we got on the phone and then it was like, we were able to get to like, okay, what is happening here? Because it's obviously not about this conversation that's happening at the surface. And I think this is what's so important about like attachment wounds if we were to map this out, I expressed a need.
Yep.
I didn't think on attachment impact it would have for you. Like, in part of this is my weird stuff is I have this pervasive narrative that like, I'm not that important. So like, it would not even occur to me that like, I could activate an attachment wound in you, which is like I realize that's a really weird thing to say, especially because we've talked about attachment. I know these things.
Sure.
So that's not even in my mind.
Right.
You experience that attachment wound, your defenses come online because that's what happens to all of us when our attachment system. And I think us being us and us having the connection we do, we were able to catch it and be like, what's going on? But so often this is what spirals. Someone expresses a need, attachment injury, defenses come up, and then that activates the other person's defenses.
Yep.
And then you're off in a rupture that no one understands. And it's so painful. So painful.
It was painful for me. And I think if I can speak for you, you probably would say it was painful for you in the 30 minutes that it took place. So
if
that had been prolonged, or we never repaired.
Can you imagine if our friendship ended in that way?
No. It would have been, 99% my fault in that moment. And I would have felt so guilty and ashamed of that for reacting in a way that is just not typically me. And I'm experiencing a lot of grief right now as is. So like I'm getting emotional thinking about this, but I would have had a really hard time living with myself for the next couple months,
So you would have, that's interesting. Cause I feel like for some of us, our like defenses would come up and the narrative would become one of anger. Like Megan Anna is so unfair. It would have been like, I fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you cursed. I would have went straight shame spiral because I have enough insight and awareness to understand that that was my emotion that I was projecting onto you. And it wasn't fair for me to do that in that moment. There was obviously other context that we could have talked through in a different way, but that reaction was mine and not yours to receive, especially as you were going through the shit that you were going through. So yeah, I would have went straight shame spiral. Like I would have my like attachment ruptures typically end in like significant shame spiral, but also significant like pulling away, and not just pulling away from our ability to repair, but just pulling away from life, like existing, and more so in like deep, dark depression and self-hatred.
No, I mean, I relate to that deeply there's also this, I've lately been wondering if it's like kind of connected to OCD, but also like feels like an autistic thing. So there's some question on a measure, I think, of like, basically the idea of if something's a little bit tainted, it's ruined. So like if there's a scuff on a boot, it's like, oh, those boots are ruined. Or there's a stain on a shirt, that's ruined. And I've got some of that thinking. And it's easy for that to creep into friendships. But it's especially bad when it's like, I've been the one to do something wrong.
Right.
And then it's like, well, I ruined that friendship. So I just need to throw it away and start over from scratch where I can be the perfect relational being and not hurt that person at all.
Sure.
Which, of course, never happens.
Yep.
But there is that mindset of like, well, that's ruined now.
Right.
So that goes away.
Yeah. Yep. 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 So anyway, fast forward to now. That was like 2 months ago, right? Maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
And before I went to Ireland in March.
I don't know your feeling, but like I felt so much closer to you afterwards.
Same.
Because we could work through it and we understood it and we're like, wow, our brains are fascinating.
And it's, you know, it's another good prime example, right? Where I hate talking on the phone. As I just said, like I hate voice memos in general. I hate audio processing because it's so hard for me. Talking on the phone really helped us like immediately repair that. Opposed to if we continued texting back and forth, I think things would not have ended well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It would not. And that's such a good like reminder of like, okay, when people are getting into a hot exchange, first of all, what is it actually about? Is it about the thing? Or is there a story and an injury happening underneath the thing?
Yeah.
And then like, how do you get back to connection?
Right. Yeah, for sure. Because I think for a lot of you listening, you might think like, oh man, I've had this experience so many times and I can see myself in it. Or I've talked about it with the person and it never repaired. And I think there is a risk of that sometimes happening, right? Of like pre and post rupture, you even might have that like repair conversation, but really maybe both people aren't in the same space and able to give the same energy and desire to the repair.
Yeah. And that's painful. And that's something to grieve when it's like, there's been a rupture and you can't do all the work. A person can only meet you halfway. And such a big piece of it is this meta awareness piece we're talking about of, can we get to the conversation underneath the conversation? And when there's not the capacity for that, it does make repair a lot harder because we get pulled back into the content. And then that makes it so much more difficult to do that repair work. And we can't, if someone can't meet us there, they can't meet us there. And that's painful.
Great. And you met me halfway in that situation because I kept saying via text, like knowing that you were getting hotter and hotter, like via text, can we please just talk about this on the phone? Like, I feel like some of this is getting really misconstrued, but at first you were like, no, I'll just talk to you when you get back from Ireland in like a month. And I was like, if we don't talk
about this. Like that was my attachment stuff. Right. So I've talked about being avoidant. Okay. So I felt hurt in that moment. And then it was like,
you're like,
we'll sort this, like go to Ireland. We'll sort this. Like, that was my avoidant. That was my avoidant coming out.
And then eventually you're like, no, let's do that. And I just felt so, like you said, honestly, so much closer to you. And Arielle had asked me when I came back in the room, she's like, are you okay? And I didn't really give her the context in that moment. But I know that like I would not have been able to sleep that night if we didn't actually speak. Regardless of what the outcome was going to be, I knew like if we left that conversation in that text form, I was going to ruminate on that and obsess on that all freaking night.
Yeah. And I would have had stress dreams. And I'm not proud about this, but like, I would have been, I think, ruminating in like a bit of anger of like, and kind of done some of the victim mindset stuff. And then I would have been like, I would have amped that up and I would have been getting angrier and angrier at you.
Right.
And then I would have probably built a really unfair narrative in my head around that, which would have then made that repair work so much more to dig out of. Then like catching it right away and hopping on and getting to the conversation underneath.
Yep. Agreed. So
wellness tip number one, get to the, catch it when your attachment system is activated.
Yep.
Get to the conversation underneath.
Yep.
And if it's safe to do so and there's capacity there, like connect with the person, but not on the like content conversation, whatever it is. I feel like it might be helpful. I'm not going to go into details. I just feel like it might be helpful to people like, what do you mean by content? Yeah. It became about, for us, it became about finances and the podcast and like who contributed what. And so that was the content conversation that like, so if we'd stayed at that content, we weren't actually talking about what was happening. That was the vehicle that our attachment stuff was using.
For sure. And for a lot of you, like you've heard me talk about, I mean, I think we both talk about our own money stuff on here at times, but money is so triggering for me. It brings me back to like gambling addiction days. It brings me back to like self-worth shit. Like it's so shame-based in so many ways. So like, yeah, if we would have stayed in that content, we never really would have gotten to the real like meat of the issue or what was actually happening for both of us behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what happens often with these dynamics is you get pulled into some content. And yes, it's kind of about the content, but it's typically that's just like the signal to whatever's happening underneath.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, wellness tip one, get to the story beneath, know when it's happening. And then like if capacity, like connect. This is part of the reflection. Cause yeah, that newsletter where I wrote about this was because of the climate we're all living in. People's nervous systems are activated.
Yep.
Where a lot of us, like our threat signals are all over the place for good reason. Yep. But it means that there's going to be more misunderstandings because our nervous system is looking for threat signals. So something like, I want to take a pause from the podcast, or a partner being like, no, I don't want to go on that walk with you right now. Like, which maybe at normal base level might be okay. Like, if our nervous systems are looking for threats, we're going to start seeing attachment threats from like neutral stimuli.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've kind of talked about this a bit in some recent content that you've put out too, like getting past the content phase and not focusing in on that content phase in regards to how you even react or people react on social media in search situations, right? So.
Yeah, I think so. Wait, say more about what you mean.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm misremembering it and it could totally be. I thought you had made some content recently about like getting past initial like meaning, because there can be so much like disagreement and arguing and autism advocates in spaces.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we have to like give each other grace and like permission to be accountable and responsive and apologetic too.
Yeah. Like kind of zooming out. Yeah, always, this is kind of like my thing, Patrick. It's like always zooming out from the content to be like, what is happening here and what's going to anchor us in understanding. So yeah, the essay I wrote this last weekend was on, it was definitely a very Megan Anna like ideation happy place of connecting many different theories. But the idea of putting out a neurodivergent identity development model of like when we're integrating this new identity, especially if we're white, especially if we are later in life identified, there's kind of a typical developmental arc that happens.
Right.
And when we're in the early phases, like an immersion phase of like, I feel so connected to autistic pride and I feel so seen in this, it can be easy when we're in that space to comment in ways that where we might be missing things or we might hurt other people. Like, for example, you know, saying things like when RFK is saying terrible things, he's not talking about me as an autistic person. He's talking about others, like you, that kind of thing, which you also talked about on social media, how that's actually really painful to divide ourselves in that way.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe we'll do an episode on this.
Yeah.
Probably should.
I mean, it connects to today's, if today's theme is wellness through interconnection, like it connects of how do, like we as a community right now, there's so many painful things happening. And part of what I'm seeing, I'm not on there a lot, but part of what I'm seeing is a lot of fracturing.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. But it's how do we as a community come together, pull together, and also like show the world a different way of being?
For sure. 100%. Yeah, it was that identity arc newsletter you put out and made some posts about, and I thought that was really good. And just the acknowledgement of as you go through your maybe potential discovery phases, there are going to be different like layers to that as well, and different developments and things you might want to walk back or things you wouldn't say I think I've said it on here too. Like I totally like at first bought into the kryptonite superpower narrative and trope. Mm-hmm. And fast forward to now, I would never say those things.
Yeah.
But 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I was like, I didn't really know any differently at the time. And I thought I was doing the right thing.
And that's developmentally appropriate, which is why I love models. Because it's like, it's not like shame on you, Patrick. It's like, of course you did. That's the developmental arc way is you go from like not knowing anything about this to like, oh my gosh, my whole life makes sense. And kind of an idealized. And that's something. So I had a conversation with Callie last week, the Black Spectrum Scholar. And one thing that they said was have self-compassion for wherever you are in the developmental arc. And in that context, she was speaking on racism, but it would also apply to like ableism. And I love that of, we actually can't make progress in being anti-racist or anti-ableist from a place of shame. We have to do it from a place of self-compassion. And if we see it as this is a developmental arc, then I can more easily have compassion for wherever I am on that arc.
100%. And that ties directly into wellness. And I think that arc, right, that ability to have self-compassion, whether it's anti-racism, anti-ableism, whatever arc that is, if you're in that shame space, you're much less likely to be involved in community because you're probably less likely to put opinion or statement or fact or thought out there because you're so concerned about how it is going to be received, opposed to being able to be accountable, apologetic, and learn from mistake, which I think is super important as we're going through some of this trajectory too, is like being accountable, being apologetic, and truly learning from mistake. Because I think so often we are going to say something that we're like, oh, that wasn't exactly landing the way that I intended for it to land.
Mm-hmm. And that's right. That's where it gets into like the accountability piece and the learning of shame shuts us down.
Right.
And then we're not very helpful to the people we've hurt.
Yeah.
When that happens.
Yep. So.
Yeah.
Wellness. I think this is a good gateway into whatever this series is going to look like. And
should we talk about that for a minute?
Yes, we should do that.
Look at, see, social ligaments. You still got it.
One thing that I just have deeply ingrained in who I am. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you, I marvel at people who can do that because it's not my strength.
I'm doing this thing where I'm like peripheral, keeping an eye on the time.
Yeah.
Keeping my one active brain cell on conversation. So
you're doing, you feel engaged to me. Like I feel immersed.
That way, yeah.
And I can tell when I feel immersed in conversation and I feel like we're both in it.
We say this so often when we haven't seen each other in person for a while. And then we drop into conversation and it makes me just feel really connected to you.
Same. Like
we've been texting. I've been in New Zealand. I've been in Ireland. We've been texting, but
Yeah. So that's actually also maybe part of wellness and community is thinking through how we connect. Cause I think it's actually really easy. I avoid synchronous meetings like the plague, but then when they happen, like even with my team, it's actually, I need to work on this because I do a lot of async meetings where I just send a video. And then when I actually meet with them, I'm like, we will generate ideas from that wouldn't have been generated otherwise. Or you and me, we do stay pretty connected. We text, I think, pretty much every day. But this felt experience right now is so qualitatively different. And I feel a different energy, a different groundedness in my body. And so, but I'm always going to have so much demand avoidance if I have a meeting on my schedule. So being able to remind myself, I'm going to have demand avoidance when it's this kind of social interaction. And I also actually know that kind of social interaction is really important for my wellness.
Yeah, it is one of those both ands for me as well. I avoid meetings as much as humanly possible. And when I see them on my calendar, I think of every way I can get out of them. I actually canceled the podcast this morning. It was like, I don't want to, I can't do this right now. Because it was with people I didn't really know. And it would have been a different back and forth. I would have had to drive the ship a lot more, and I just wasn't in that headspace this morning. But like, I do have to remind myself too, even with my team meetings with my staff at Resilient Mind Counseling, like I dread meetings. But then when we're all in one space, I'm like, it's kind of nice to see everyone's face and like actually be able to speak to you in these, in this capacity. So yeah, I have to remind myself too.
We don't always want to do the things that are good for us. I think that's a good thing
hashtag
for us to like have in mind. Yeah.
That's, yeah. I mean, take it from two licensed mental health professionals when we can tell you that it's really sometimes hard to practice what we preach.
Mm-hmm. So actually, I have a like colleague. It's interesting. We actually went to the same doctoral program in psychology, and he like he was diagnosed in childhood. And it was kind of a, like, it was kind of a big deal for an autistic person to be going through a doctoral program in psychology. So we briefly knew each other then, but we've reconnected since. And he is a framework I love. I shared this. I posted it to Neurodivergent Insights. I think this feels like a very autistic thing, the ability to just like conceptualize ideas in ways that are like, oh yeah, now that makes sense. But he talks about self-care as like two types. There's self-soothing. So like when we're like in active distress or sensory overwhelm, it's the things like it feels good. So maybe that might be binge watching Netflix. It might be like sensory soothing. It might be, I mean, for me, it'd be a hot shower. I know showers are like hated for some autistic people. So self-soothing, it's easy to do. It feels good to do it. And then there's self-nourishment, which we have a little bit more friction around doing, but it's the things that's good for us. So it might be like making that green smoothie, trying to get more nutrient dense food into us, doing the movement, prioritizing sleep. And I just find that framework for self-care so helpful. And then the idea is like, if we have too much of one and not of the other, then we might feel off balance. So the question of like, okay, which, like maybe I need more self-soothing in my life, or actually maybe I've gone so much to self-soothing and I actually need some of that self-nourishment. Like, I'm actually going to meet with Patrick and see my friend, even though I've got to man avoidance, right? That kind of thing.
That's a great framework. I like that a lot. Yeah, that self-soothing piece comes much more naturally for me, for sure. I think I default into it.
Same.
Sometimes to the point where it's like, this is maybe becoming problematic for this week or this month, but I just allow it to be that way.
I mean, this is a month I think a lot of us need a lot of self-soothing, and you especially.
Yeah, for sure. So, but that self-nourishment piece, really trying to keep that in perspective when we look at our calendars or when we think about what we say yes and no to. And it goes back to like something you say a lot, and I can't remember how you frame it. It's like that cost-benefit analysis piece you've talked about, like, with, okay, if I go do this activity with the family, it's a high values event, but it's going to cost me a significant amount, right? It's kind of in that regard, looking at it from that lens for self-nourishment for me sometimes when I'm like, okay, I should go take the dog for a walk around the neighborhood and get out of my house because I haven't left the house in 5 days. And like, I resist it. And then I do it for like 20 minutes. I'm like, I do feel a little bit better.
Like, you were right. Yeah. And it's that, so that feedback loop, which I would also tap and put in the meta awareness bucket, is so important because especially if it is a higher friction activity, there's not going to be as much momentum or motivation to do it. So then when it's like, okay, that did feel better. So same thing for me, like I recently got a walking treadmill. And my default would be to use while I work. My default would be like, it's more comfortable on the couch. But sure. I know my energy is better if I use the walking treadmill. I know I feel better. And then when I am having that resistance, I'll remind myself, okay, yesterday you were in the spot and you did it and you felt better.
Right. That's a good way to like reframe back to that and anchor back into that too, to like say like, okay, like here's some actual evidence. You did feel better literally yesterday when you did this thing.
Yeah.
I like that as well.
So, okay. I'm feeling the antsy time where we are going to wrap this conversation up. So I have two thoughts. One, I want to like hear what you're hoping for that we'll explore in this series. That's one. And then two, I thought maybe I'd mention Substack because we've been talking about community so much.
Yeah, go for
and
it.
Our thoughts around that. Which one do you want to
end the episode out? Is that what's happening?
No. First, I'm saying we have two things, two bullet list things to talk about until my brain is not itchy. And then we can close the episode.
Hear that, because it's always a fun experience for me.
It is a fun experience. If you like us, go like us.
Okay. So, yes, number one, what am I hoping to get out of this? It's not even just about the wellness.
Explore.
I just want to have, I'm excited to kind of do this podcast in a way that is kind of the epitome of like what wellness is in a lot of ways, which is boundary setting, asking for what you need, doing things in a way that maximizes your energy. So things like, if we're going to batch seasons in like a week and a half, 2 weeks, and then have extended time off, I am personally excited for that, to say like, hell yes, I love batching for that reason. Also, I want to really honor what you want and need. And for me, wellness is sometimes that like doing for others and friendship and acknowledging like what someone you care about wants and needs in relationship. That for me is really important. And then I like just tangible tips, strategies, action tips that I'll never implement in my own life, but it's fun to talk about.
It's fun to give other people advice. Sure, do these
things. Yeah, I'll leave these meetings and be like, yeah, you know what? That was a really good point. And then end up on the couch watching Lord of the Rings or basketball.
I feel like such a contradiction being in the, like, I guess I am pretty much in the wellness space of like, like a lot of this stuff I totally struggled to implement. I struggled to implement it consistently, I would say.
Yeah, same for me.
Yeah, which is very ADHD. And then we have to, again, having self-compassion like for that. Of like, sure. Yeah, that is going to be hard.
100%. What about you?
I love what you said about like just embodying the wellness and almost treating it as like a living lab. I love that kind of stuff where it's like, let's try this and talk about it and reflect on it. Yeah. Community wasn't the first thing that came to my mind when we were like, let's talk about neurodivergent wellness, but I love that it did, because it has been on my mind a lot this year.
Yep.
And so I'm just kind of excited. This conversation's felt really alive, and I'm just excited to see what comes of it. I don't yet have a bullet list of like, okay, we'll do an episode on this, this, and this, but I'm sure it'll come. I'm just excited that we're having this conversation right now, because it really matters. And one of the things we talked about was we're not going to do guests for this season, which you and I both have noticed that feels like we appreciate it. We learn so much from our guests, and it is a heavier cognitive energetic lift for both of us.
Yeah.
So I'm excited just to like nerd out and talk with you a lot over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. You keep texting me like, you're going to get sick of me. You're going to get sick of me. I'm like, okay.
Wait, did I?
Yeah. You've said that.
Oh, well, it's because I'm like really in a like boppy energy right now, and you're not. And if I was low and someone I was in relationship had a lot of energy, that to me would be sensory overwhelming.
Well, I appreciate your trying to look out for me from that perspective. I don't know. Am I ever in a boppy energy? Just curiosity wise, maybe more than now, but not probably like up.
I don't know that I've seen you up.
Me neither. It'd be nice.
Well, maybe it'll rub off. Maybe my boppy energy will rub off on you.
So Substack. What do you think?
Substack. So over the last couple of years, we've been like, we should do this, we should do this, we should do this for Divergent Conversations. And one of them is like, do we start a Patreon? Do we start a whole, like a big community? And then my brain always wants to make it bigger, and then we don't do anything. We're really fun to work together. Another thing that came of like the website migration was I was just like, I just want to get on Substack because it feels like a different culture. It feels, if my website's going to go down, like it feels, I don't know. I just felt the pull, and I've really enjoyed the community and the culture there. And so one quote that I've shared quite a bit, I can't remember if I've said it here yet or not, probably not because we haven't recorded. It's from Adrienne Marie Brown. I'm reading Emergent Strategy right now, which is all about transformational justice and community. And there's a quote in there about, what if instead of building mile wide, inch deep communities, we built inch wide, mile deep communities? So I've been thinking a lot about community, and I know a lot of folks, I think, have had interest around like divergent conversations and where do I continue this conversation? Mm-hmm. So, but we've also both been very burnt out. So anyways, we've talked about starting a Substack where we're not exactly sure what it'll look like, but where it would be a place where people could continue the conversation in community. So it's not just them listening to us have a conversation.
Right. Yeah. And I think that feels like almost the most natural transition point in this container. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, we floated a lot of ideas around. Some of them we like kind of quarter the way, maybe started a little bit and then didn't start. Mm-hmm. So it does feel like a natural place for these conversations and connections and communities to mm-hmm. continue to grow, because it's really hard for both Megan, Anna, and I to respond to messages on Instagram or on email or all of the places. And although we really appreciate all of the love and support and acknowledgement and questions and all the things, it's just too many places to be checking and responding in. So it would be much easier to do so in a nice, mm-hmm. like cultivated, curated community in that way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So we are so glad to be back and we're glad that you're with us, listening and supporting and hopefully staying as safe as possible right now. And Divergent Conversation episodes are on all major platforms and YouTube on Fridays. And you can like, download, subscribe, and share.
Hey, it's Dr. Neff here. This season, we are clearly talking about autistic burnout, a topic that Neurodivergent Insights has covered extensively. So if you would like more resources to supplement your learning, we've put together a page where we've curated all of our autistic burnout resources, free and paid resources. We have lots of articles on autistic burnout. We have an upcoming free email course that's going to be released soon. We have workbooks on autistic burnout. So if you'd like to check out our resources, again, both free and paid, you can go to neurodivergentinsights.com/burnout-resources. It's linked below and in the show notes. I hope you don't need these resources, but if you do, they are there for you.